What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Elite 360 Podcast. I am your host, Anthony Waite, and it's so good to be with you for another episode. If you are liking the content and the material that you listen to on this podcast, then I encourage you to follow the show, give me a like, or share the show with somebody you lead or somebody you love. That's how we get this message to the masses. But today, what I want to discuss is becoming aware of some gaps that we fall into often when we're setting goals, aspirations, when we have hopes for a better future, when we're looking to become more than our current situation or circumstance. And one of the books that I love reading and that has changed my life dramatically is John Maxwell's 15 Laws of Invaluable Growth. And the law of intentionality talks about these 8 growth traps. And I want to share them with you from my perspective and how I've been able to know them, grow them, and then apply them to my life, because I want you to understand that knowledge isn't power, it's applied knowledge, and education just gives you the textbook of things, but it's your application and filter through your own life that allows for that true transformation. And in the book, the 15 Laws of Growth, he shares this quote by James Allen, and the book As a Man Thinketh is another instrumental book that can help you make pivots in your life, personally and professionally. And the quote is this: people are anxious to change their circumstances, but unwilling to improve themselves. They therefore remain bound. And this is so interesting and important, because I know so many people who come to me and say, Anthony, I want to, you know, change my marriage. I want to change my health. I want to change myself. I want to be better, and I want to have better outcomes and better results in my life. And they're often surprised when I tell them that the catalyst, the true change, the true transformation has to come from the inside out, not the outside in. You see, you can go get the paycheck, the position, the promotion, the titles, the degrees, the certifications. And, you know, being in the military, I thought that, you know, getting the next medal or the next rank was going to change me. And it didn't. It was me going inside and saying, I can't focus on more credentials. I got to focus on more character. And that's exactly what I did. And so most people will ask, well, how did you go from being homeless to working at the White House, or being a broken young man to now leading a family and leading thousands of people and speaking on stages all over the world? It's simply because I had to get out of my head and into my heart and realize that if I'm going to be able to change my circumstances, I must first change myself. And so it was from that will to change me that the things in my life began to change. So how do we do this, right? He says, people want to change their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. They therefore remain bound. Bound by what? Bound by their habits, their behaviors, their beliefs, the burdens of the past. Literally, they become prisoners of their own problems, not realizing that they are the problem. And that's what I realized in my own life, is that all the problems that I had in my life was because I was the problem. And the beautiful thing was, I realized is that I'm also the solution, that nobody was going to fix me. Not my parents, not my friends, not my spouse, not my kids, not my boss. It had to come from me. And when you understand that, that right there gives you the power to understand that you are in charge. The choices you make will allow you to take charge of your life. But most people, if you were like me, played the victim. Well, you don't understand. You know, I came from, my parents were, they didn't give me this. My boss, my paycheck, my position, my title, my degree, all these bullshit excuses that we make, and not realizing that the change comes from within. And while you might fall into some money, you might fall into a position, you might get the degree, that change is only going to be temporary. But true transformation comes from within. And in order to do that, we have to be aware of these 8 gaps that I'm going to share with you. Gap number 1, the assumption gap. We assume that growth is automatic. You see, most people will wait, wish, and want to be different or have more or to be more, not realizing that just because you get older doesn't mean that you mature, right? I know people that are 40, 50 years old who still act like little kids. And as a result, they think like little kids. And as a result, they make the same money as little kids. And I want you to understand that this is all sequential. Like, it all goes and affects everything in your life. And when you realize that just because I grow in age doesn't mean I grow in wisdom or grow in maturity, then you understand that growth, it doesn't happen automatic, that it is something that is not passive, that you have to participate. And growth, understand that growth is both physical and mental. And then there's another piece that will exponentially grow your physical and mental, and that's the spiritual. So if I was to give you an equation, it would be physical plus mental growth times spiritual growth equals exponential growth. And that is something that I've been really realizing in my life now as I am reaching certain pinnacles and certain levels, that I have the physical strength and the physical growth. I am working on the mental faculties and the resilience. But as soon as I realized that I added the spiritual growth and that I am in tune with my spiritual self, my life has taken off faster than I could ever imagine. And the same thing goes for you. And I know you're probably thinking, well, you know, I'm not religious. Well, good. This isn't religion. You don't have to go to church to understand this. You don't have to talk to a preacher or a pastor or know Bible scriptures to understand this. But I do know one thing, that you can grow to a certain level. But until you add that spiritual growth, until you believe in something bigger than yourself, until you press into your God-given potential, you will always have a lid to your ability to lead others. And I want you to understand that hope and wish, they're not strategies, okay? You can hope, you can wish, you can pray, but without participation, you will not have traction. And without traction, there is no transformation. And so I want you to think about this. How can you create transformation in your life? You have to stop assuming, you have to stop waiting, and you have to start working. So number one, the assumption gap. Number two, the knowledge gap. I don't know how to grow. And this is an excuse that I get all the time. You know, somebody comes to me and says, you know, I want to get healthier. I want to have a better looking body. I want a better marriage. I want more meaning in my life. The truth is that we all know what to do. Like right now, if you're listening to this and you're 100 pounds overweight, and I was to ask you, give me 5 ways that you can lose weight right now, I guarantee you, you can identify 5 things that you can do right now to change your health. But unfortunately, most people will wait until they get a diagnosis. They'll wait till they have a disease before they make a difference. They'll wait till they are on the verge of divorce before they start pouring into that relationship. We all know what to do. The truth is every one of us know exactly what we need to do, that if we would do it, it could change our life. And unfortunately, you know, if you look around, we live in a world full of information, but we are starving for knowledge. You can find thousands and thousands of books. In fact, in the new year, at the time of this recording, 2024, there's going to be so many gurus trying to tell you how to lose 10 pounds. And the truth is, you know how to do it. But the problem is that you can't hold yourself accountable. You cannot dial in the discipline to stay focused. And that's why it is so important that you have somebody who's like a mentor or a coach that can keep you dialed in, a group of people that will tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. And so you have to understand that starving, you know, when we live in a world that is full of information, starving for knowledge, and they're also starving for truth, one of the worst things that you can do is follow these influencers who are living in a fantasy life, in a fantasy world. And I fell into this many years ago where, you know, I'm following people on productivity, not realizing that they don't even have kids. They're not even married. Of course they could do all these things. And I realized that I'm setting myself up for failure when I'm comparing and competing with other people who are not at my level. And frankly, that I'm not at their level. And that's okay. You have to run your own race and you have to run it at your own pace. And when we look at the knowledge gap, another credential, another degree, another piece of paper, another certification is not going to change your life. Only you can do that. And it comes from getting grounded in truth and taking action. And where do you find truth? It's found in your results, because your results are your reality. It doesn't matter what you want to have or what you desire to be. It's who you are right now. And when we start from the current results and the current reality, only then can we build upon that place and build who we are becoming. But most people will kind of try to, you know, bullshit themselves and say, well, it's not that bad. Well, you know, when this, then that. If this, then that. And what I want you to understand is that you have to look at where you are. And the truth is painful. Reality sucks for some people, for most people. And if you're listening to this, chances are you're looking to be, do, or have more in your life, or else you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. So when you get grounded in reality, then you can start building a life that you'll be one day proud of. And so the next one is the timing gap. People often say it's not the right time, or I'm going to wait until the new year when the timing is right. Here's the truth. Timing is never right. The time to start is now. You know, there's a quote that says the best time to plant a tree was 30 years ago. The next best time is right now. And if you're waiting to get started, right, I want you to understand this one quote that I always, you know, reflect on. And it says, the path to hell is paved with good intentions, right? And it's so true, because the truth is, we don't have more time to waste. We have no more time to waste staying in the position that we currently are in. In fact, if you do this, you're going to get the same results that you currently have. And so that sense of urgency is necessary. Intentions are not enough. Intentions backed by actions are what builds the transformation. And if you're looking at your life right now and saying, well, I'll do this when, I'll start investing in my children when, I'll invest in my family when, I'll invest in my health when, I'll invest in my professional life when, understand that when never comes, tomorrow never comes. It's right now. And whenever we're looking at the law of diminishing intent, right? The law of diminishing intent states that the longer that we wait to do something, the chances are, the greater the odds that we will never do it. And that's the people that say, I woulda, shoulda, coulda. That builds a life that one day will be full with regret. And as we reflect on our life, we will look back and say, man, I wish I would've, I wish I could've, I should've. And then people go throughout their life just shouldn't all over themselves. And I want you to understand, if you're listening to this, the timing gap is one that most people fall into. But if you know this now, I hope that this is not true for you going into the new year. You see, it's the people with a diagnosis. It's the people that get a disease. It's the people who are on the verge of divorce or bankruptcy that often say, I meant to, or I intended to. But remember, intentions are not enough. The fourth mistake that most people make in the fourth gap, I'm sorry, is the mistake gap. I'm afraid of making mistakes. If I was to ask you right now, what is preventing you from getting started? Chances are you would say something like, I'm afraid of failure, or I'm afraid of failing. And here's the truth. I have yet to meet anybody who is successful or has achieved some kind of success who hasn't made a mistake. Mistakes are only failures whenever we choose to quit. Remember, when we choose to quit, we have complete control over whether that mistake turns into a failure or not. And in fact, what I've learned is that, you know, mistakes are let us know that we are trying. I can't tell you how many mistakes I've made as a healthcare professional, as a naval officer, as a father, as a husband, as a leader, hell, as a speaker, coach, and trainer. I've made so many mistakes, and I realized that those mistakes don't make me. But through my choices, I get to decide, will it make me or will it break me? And mistakes can only make or break you when you choose to let them. And I'll tell you that whenever we understand that mistakes allow us to learn instead of fail, then we're in this constant progression of growth and this mindset of learning. And we realize that this mistake was there to teach me something. And until we extract the lesson, we'll continue to make the mistake. And I want you to think of a kid, right? I got two boys, and if you're listening to this and you have, you know, a kid in your life, a baby in your life, or hell, whenever you were a kid, think of a kid that learns to walk. They literally fell themselves into learning how to walk. They fall down, they get back up, they try again. They fall, they bump their head, they cry, they get back up, they try again. But how crazy is it that if a kid says, well, I don't want to make a mistake, and they get up and they move and they fall down and they never get back up and they just sit there for the rest of their life. Like, God didn't make them that way. God didn't make us that way. And what's interesting about a child is that they have yet to be influenced by all the craziness in the world. But you and I are adults, and what happens is we let these mistakes define who we are, and we let people criticize us and judge us, and then we fail to get back up and try again. How dare us allow other people to paralyze our potential? And I look at my kids, and they teach me so many lessons because they don't have those influences from around the world that tell them they're not good enough, that tell them they'll never be enough. But you and I, unfortunately, we are told that by our society, by our social circle, by ourself, by our family, by our friends, and we are made to believe that that is true for every one of us. And the truth is, it's a false belief. It's a false reality. And we only are born with two fears in life, and that's the fear of falling down and the fear of loud noises. Any other fear has been programmed. So this fear of making a mistake, you have to understand, is not truth. that it's something that we are made to believe. And somewhere in your life, you were made to believe this. The problem that I want you to understand is that God doesn't make mistakes, right? When we're looking at mistakes and we think we're a mistake, maybe you're listening to this and you felt like I felt at one time in my life that I was just a big mistake and that I shouldn't even be here. You have to realize that God doesn't make mistakes. Mistakes are God's way of bringing us closer to Him and bringing us back to truth. And when you realize that I might have made a mistake, but I am not a mistake, that gives you hope. That gives you courage to get up and try again. And whenever you are broken, most people, you know, they don't go and start believing until they are broken. I want you to start thinking about all the blessings that you have and realize that you have more truth than you have mistakes. That if you're listening to this right now, chances are if you go back in your timeline of your life and you count the mistakes that you've made and the successes that you have, you can probably identify more blessings than burdens. And the truth is that most people don't want to do this because they're afraid to go back. They're afraid to go back into that failure and extract the lesson because they don't ever want to feel that pain again. But let me tell you this, pain is a powerful weapon. It's a powerful tool because if we hurt enough, then we will grow, we will change. Most people aren't willing to hurt enough before they grow. They'd rather be broken than have breakthrough because it takes work. It's not a matter of just praying. It's a matter of taking action. And so I want you to understand that the process of trust requires mistakes. And so the mistake gap, number four. The next one is the perfection gap. This is a big one that, you know, I had to learn in my life. The perfection gap tells us that I have to find the best way before I begin. You know, when I was looking at getting into speaking, coaching, and training, I had to make sure the videos looked good, the camera, the lights, and all this stuff looked great. And the truth was, I was just kidding myself. I wanted to put on this fallacy that everything was perfect. And here's the thing. Nobody wants a perfect leader. Nobody wants a perfect parent. Nobody wants a perfect spouse. But yet, we're flooded with all these things of perfection online, social media, the news. And here's the thing. Perfection is not the name of the game. Progression is. And most people, they see the glory, but do they know the story? Like, I get paid to speak on stages, not because I'm perfect, but because I'm in progress. And when they see somebody at your level, at our level, and they say, man, here you are as this person who is very influential, but yet you are not perfect. It gives people hope that they can do it too. And that's our job as parents, as spouses, as leaders, as people of influence, is that we want to give people hope that, hey, you can do this too. If I can go from being broken and having and to have the breakthrough that I have today and to have the blessings that I have, then so can you. But the process has to start with, I have to be willing to suck. And then I suck less. And then I have success. As long as I stay in the game. And I want you to understand this, that if you're chasing this perfection gap and you're falling into this perfection gap, the chances are you're procrastinating as well. Perfection is the catalyst to procrastination. It's just the fact. So it's not that you want to be perfect. It's that you're procrastinating because you're afraid. You're afraid of failure. It kind of goes hand in hand with number four, the mistake gap. So trust the process and don't get fixated on the product. The product is always a consequence of the consistent, imperfect action. Number six is the inspiration or the motivation gap. Now, many of you, if you listen to me for long enough, you know how I feel about motivation. In fact, I hate being called a motivational speaker. I'm not a motivational speaker. I might make you motivated, but that's not my intent. My intent is to be a transformational speaker, not a motivational speaker, because I want you to take action. After you listen to this, I want you to go apply this. I want you to get out there and get after it, because discipline is what creates transformation, not motivation. And so the inspiration or motivation gap says, I don't feel like doing it. And I want you to understand that feelings aren't facts until your feelings take a back seat to your purpose and discipline, you will always risk being an emotional wreck. There are days when I wake up and I'm depressed. There's days when I wake up and I'm fighting anxiety. There's days, honestly, more days that I don't feel like doing something than there are when I feel like doing the things I know I should be doing. I am no different than you. I am not immune to these feelings, these emotions. But what I've learned to do is take those feelings and turn them into facts. So whenever I don't feel like going for a run, I don't feel like working out, I know exactly that that's what I should be doing. when I don't feel like showing up as a father, I know exactly what I should be doing. When I don't feel like being compassionate or loving to my wife, then I realize that that's exactly what I need to be doing. And if you can take that feeling or that thought and reverse engineer it and say, okay, if this is how I feel, then I know my feelings are going to cause me to be an emotional wreck. I don't want that pain. That pain of regret. That pain of regret will always be worse than the pain of pushing through and doing what you should be doing. And so my life has been just turning those feelings into facts by taking it and doing the opposite. So when I know that I should be swimming, when I'm getting ready for an Ironman, and I don't feel like doing it, I get my ass up and I take action. Action mitigates all fear. And whenever you can live your life understanding that you have to keep the promises you make to yourself, then you realize that when you give yourself a command, you follow through regardless of how you feel. That's discipline. Discipline is the ability to give yourself a command and follow through regardless of how you feel. And when you're able to do that, then you're able to transform your life. And that's whenever people look at you like, I don't know how you do this. I don't know how you're always, you know, doing all these things. Because I understand that when I have these feelings, because I do all the time, they never go away. These negative thoughts, you can't get rid of them. They are always there. But if you can take them and turn them around, a 360, that's where that lead 360 comes from, turn them around and make them good, then you're able to live a powerful and purposeful life. And that's all that I do. I didn't feel like doing a podcast today, but I made the promise that I was going to do one today. I gave myself a command, and when I didn't feel like following through, I did exactly what I said I was going to do. And guess what? The result of this is me having more confidence, being proud of keeping the promises to myself. It allows me to show up more powerful for my family, for myself, and for those I lead and those I love. And the same thing goes for you. But when we can't keep the promises we make to ourselves and we let ourselves down, guess what happens? We end up letting other people down. And it all begins with you. So discipline, understand, is what separates those who are interested versus those who are committed. And in life, we don't get what we want. We get what we are committed to. Most importantly, we get what we are committed to becoming. So number 7, the comparison gap. This states that others are better than I am. Here's the thing about comparison and competition. They will kill any potential. When you compare and compete with anybody other than yourself, you will never, ever reach your potential. In fact, you will do this comparison, through comparison and competition, you'll fall into the perfection gap because you're trying to compete and trying to be like everybody else. You were not created to be like everybody else, and you are not for everybody. When you realize this, that I am not supposed to be like anybody else, and I am not for everybody, that is where you harness the power of your authentic self. It's none of your business what others are doing or thinking. Instead, I want you to focus on what you are doing and what you are thinking. And when you put your head down and you go to work on you, it's interesting how the world kind of falls into place. Your world falls into place. Your goals fall into place. Who you are becoming falls into place. You know, when I graduated high school, I graduated with a GPA of 1.8. And shortly after that, I left home and I was kind of living on a friend's couch and kind of just bouncing around and floundering through life. I had no rhyme or reason. I was becoming a loser. I was getting in trouble. I was doing a bunch of dumb things. And I remember looking at other people, and as they were going off to college and, you know, figuring out what university they were going to go to, I was kind of figuring out where I was going to get my next meal. And I remember comparing myself to other people and realizing that, man, I'm such a failure. I felt like a loser. I felt worthless. I felt purposeless. I felt like I was living up to what everybody else told me. You're just like your father. And then I realized that I had to stop comparing and competing with other people. And I had to start comparing myself to my potential and what I wanted. And shortly after that, a year later, I joined the military. I put my head down and I started grinding. I was deploying. I was learning my skill. I was crafting. I was becoming great at what I did. I wasn't worried about what other people were doing. I was not looking to the right or left. I was focused on who I was becoming because I realized that if I was going to help a lot of people, I had to first help myself. And in 2019, that was in 2004, I joined the military. 2003, I graduated high school. 2019, I got a phone call from the superintendent of the high school that I graduated from. And I thought that maybe they realized that I shouldn't have graduated, or that maybe I got in trouble, or that, you know, something bad was going to happen. You know, my thought process then was, prepare for the worst, but hope for the best. And so when I got a phone call from my high school, I thought, oh boy, like, here we go. Can't run away from my problems. And when they told me that I was selected to be the distinguished alumni from my class, I realized that that was a product of me comparing and competing against myself, not against other people. You see, I was only one of two people in my class to get this award. And now my picture sits on the wall in that high school forever and ever and ever. And when people walk in there and they look up and they see me, that is a testament that I stopped comparing and competing against other people and I started fulfilling my God-given potential. And it was because of who I became, not because of the degrees or the titles or the position, but it's who I became over those last 15 years. And all the people that were supposed to go off and do amazing things, I'm sure they did, but they didn't get the Distinguished Alumni Award. That was my proof to myself that I had to stop comparing and competing and watching other people. And I had to get off the sidelines of life and get in the game. And when I did that, my life dramatically changed. And the same thing goes for you. Where have you been sitting on the sideline watching the game of life? And where do you need to get in the game? When are you going to get in the game? When are you going to start working on your potential and fulfilling what God has in store for you? When you do this, the only limit that you put on yourself, or the only limit that you have, is the one that you put on yourself. And I want you to understand this, is when you're looking at other people, it's okay to compare and compete to a certain extent, but this is what I call model and then modify. Find people who are doing what you want to do, model them, and then modify it to fit you. Like, I'm a John Maxwell speaker, coach, and trainer. I'm teaching from his book right now. But if you go read the book, it's not going to tell you what I just told you, because I've read it. I've been mentored by John Maxwell. But everything that he shares, I have applied to my life and extracted stories that provide the lesson. And so I've modeled and then modified it to fit this recording. And the same thing goes for you. When you read a book, don't try to be like that person. Take their nuggets, apply it to your life, filter it through your stories and your transformation, and then share it with the world. Model and then modify. All right, the last one, number 8, the expectation gap. This is the gap that tells us, I thought it would be easier than this. And here's what I want you to understand. There is a gap between expectation and reality. We talked about reality earlier, but the gap between expectation and reality is disappointment. When we have these high expectations, but the reality is we need to be better, that gap between expectation and reality is called disappointment. And so we must close that through discipline. And if we have an expectation for ourselves that's higher than our current reality, the discipline in doing the things we know we should be doing is what closes that. And the expectation gap is, I thought it would be easier than this. I want you to understand that you don't need to expect for things to be easier. You need to expect that you will get better. I had this conversation with my 8-year-old the other day when we were coming home from baseball practice. And he said, Dad, it's hard being me. And I said, well, what do you mean, son? He said, well, it's hard at school. It's hard at baseball. It's hard at boxing. And I said, well, life's not supposed to be easy. Life is supposed to be hard. Life is not fair. It's not supposed to be. You should not want an easy life. And in fact, I told him, if I gave you an easy life and made everything so easy for you, I would fail you as a father. Now, that doesn't mean you have to suffer like I did, but you have to be challenged, because in that challenge comes growth. And through growth comes becoming better. So life doesn't become easier, you get better. And the only way you become better is by learning, by growing, and by putting yourself in challenging situations. And I want to tell you that as well. I don't want you to wish that your life is going to be easy in 2024. I want you to commit to becoming better in 2024. You do this and you close this expectation gap. You close the gap between your expectations and your reality. And so thank you for joining another episode of the Lead 360 podcast. As always, if you found value in today's episode, please share it with somebody that you lead or somebody you love. Also, tonight, as of this recording, we are launching the 30-Day 360 Challenge. That is a challenge that I'm going to be leading for 40 people so far. So if you want to join, you got to do it today, because the registration closes tonight. But tonight, Thursday, December 28th, we will be hosting the launch call for the 30-Day 360 Challenge. And what this is a 30-day challenge to build momentum for the new year. We will kick off on January 1st, but tonight is the launch call, and you have to be there so that you can get the details. And if you want to join that, the link is down below in the show notes. Also, if you want to continue this conversation and continue to commit to your growth, consider joining us in the Lead 360 Facebook group. This is a private group, totally free, in which I hold monthly or weekly trainings inside the group for 700 people, leaders like yourself who are committed to growing. And it's a great opportunity to network and also to grow. So if you want to join there, I'll put the link down below as well. Last but not least, if you want to get into the Lead 360 Academy coaching group, this is my paid coaching group where we have weekly calls. I help you map out all of your goals, your tactics, your strategy, and professional strategies. And then also you have a group that holds you accountable. If you're interested in that, I'll put the link down below for the details. But I really hope that you will consider joining us tonight at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. The details are down below, and I think that it's going to help you build momentum into the new year. Have a great and happy new year, and I'll see you in 2024.